It is a pleasure to be with you today and to be invited to preach. Randy and Heather and Mary Lynn and Patrice and Hank speak so highly of all of you. And I like to worship here when I am free from serving other churches. If I'm tired, you encourage me. If I need love, it is here. And the Word of God is always spoken in this place. So hear now the reading from the gospel lesson according to John, chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. When they found Jesus on the other side of the lake, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus, who searches human hearts, answered them, "Very truly, I tell you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." And then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the work of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." And so they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." The word of the Lord. When you think of the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, think of three things. Think first, journey, a real and a spiritual journey toward freedom from all that enslaves you, toward a good place, better than where you have been, a journey. Second, think of your provisions as coming from God. Money is either not there or it won't do it. Your provisions coming from God. And three, think of identity formation. Because Numbers is about who the Israelites are and who the Israelites might become. Who Moses is as the leader of the people. What gifts of God are in him? Of what kind of stuff is he made? Now today in Numbers, it doesn't look very good. This is not the easy day. This is the harder one. This is when faith and character are tested. Maybe you know this day. On the job, in the family, on the committee, the deal going down. On this stretch of the journey through the wilderness to a promised land, they are all losing it today. The parents, in this case, Moses and God. And all the children, they are all crying. They are all at the entrance of their tents, complaining and grumbling and it is not for the good reason for complaint, which is to make something better, but to grumble, to murmur, to dream, but backwards rather than forwards, to revert back to old ways rather than to progress. No, the cucumbers, the leeks, the melons, the garlic, the fish, they were far from free. They were slaves in Egypt. But the children of Israel won't meet today. And the text says God was angry and Moses was displeased. Do you know this place where we are, where you pull over the car to set things straight? Where you vent to God, where you stop and deal with something hard, where you want to get back on track, you want to move forward. God's gift of wilderness bread, called manna, not marshmallows, manna, is not what they want. Though in Hebrew, the word manna means literally, what is this stuff? It is reported to have been very tasty. Manna was a flaky substance, very common in the Sinai Peninsula, falling every morning fresh like dew, never failing like God's provisions. For one thing, though, they are tired of it. You know, say your prayers, go to church, eat your greens, take your manna. Tired of it. And for another thing, it just didn't seem like much substance. It was not your high-calorie carb, good-for-the-journey, strength-training food. But it was food for the time when you find yourself in the desert. The desert of your life, trying to find your way through it to a better day. You may not like it, but here it is, your manna. Eat it. You will need it. Bread for your journey. God is not so happy that the children still want meat. So what does God do? Well, you have to have a sense of humor here because the text does. Because God is going to send in a mess of quail on the next wind. So many quail that they'll soon be complaining about all the meat. They will come to absolutely hate meat. It's like having a harvest of tomatoes and zucchini and you can't eat them all, can them all, relish them all, or find enough people to give them all away to. And what does Moses do? Moses speaks an honest prayer. Moses throws up his hands. We do not see him do this. The children of Israel do not see him do this. He throws it up to God in private. But we are privy to hear the meeting between Moses and God in the prayer. And Moses lets it rip. Lord, why are you treating your servant so badly? Haven't I been good? Haven't I done what you have said? These people want meat. They're in the desert. Where am I going to get meat? Lord, these are not my kids. These are your kids. Why have you brought me to such a place? Now, I hate it when I talk like this. Pity me. Why me? I'm surely not supposed to be in this place. But this kind of talking with God, this helps Moses get clear. This helps Moses vent, unload, if you will, in a good way. And he is able to see his way forward from this prayer, and God sends him help. God says, Moses, gather 70 elders plus two more, Eldad and Medad. And I will put some of my spirit on them, and they will help you bear your burden. Now, what I first want to know is who put these names on the baby names list in ancient Israel? Eldad, Medad. But I digress. The church is about giving the help to the world. I tell you all of this because no matter what kind of good work you do, what cause you have taken up, what is on your plate, what has fallen off of the plate, we will all find ourselves here at some time trying to lift that calling off the ground, trying to hold up under the weight, trying to move something forward. And sometimes we will find ourselves stuck, upset, confused, stopped, stalled, complaining, thinking we can't get through this. This is too much. The dream of God is too great. The future we cannot see. How many times could you just drop whatever it is you have and walk away, except for the blessing that is in it? I know a man who wanted to quit on the school that his church was funding for the school in the area for the most least likely to succeed. The conflicts, the money issues, the low success rate of the children so far, except that he knows that this is the fruit of his best and his highest labors. I know a woman who says someday she could just kick her husband to Timbuktu and send the kids out of the house, except that the marriage and the kids mean too much. I know a man who talks of just being free, except that he knows what he holds is the light of his life. Maybe God's provisions is more hands to help do the work, to lighten the load, and more good-spirited people to surround you, to help you deal with the whining days, to help you walk and talk as you go, someone to laugh and cry with you, someone to help you to keep the vision, to move forward, to hold it together, to keep your soul in peace. Although there is the mother who asked her son for help, and some guests came over for dinner, and the mother said, "Johnny, why don't you pray before we eat together?" And at first Johnny said, "No, mother, I don't know how." And his mother encouraged him and said, "Yes, you do. Just say what I've been saying." Okay, and Johnny prayed, "Dear God, what were we thinking when we invited these people over?" Sometimes the help isn't going to be all that you had in mind. But this text helps because all of you have callings on your time in this world. All of you have something hard to bear. All of you have something high to hold up and see through. And all of you know then, or if you live long enough, you will come to know some desert time. And always, at times like this, most of all, you will find out what God provides, how God provides. What is the essence of life? What is the strength of your life? What is the light for your way? And that is why Jesus says in John 6, after he has fed the 5,000 the bread who have come to hear him speak, and they stay so long they get hungry. And then he goes to the other side of the lake and they follow him for more of this life-filling, sustaining, satisfying stuff. And that is when he says, do not work for the food that perishes. Work for the food that gives you life, eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you if you will have it. It was not Moses who gave you this bread from God that keeps you going, this life light for the world. that makes you hunger no more. I am the bread of life, and I will give you what you want. How is it that Jesus Christ is the bread of life for the world? Because they said, "Sir, give us this bread always." It is very difficult to describe bread for the world, bread for your journey, bread for the life that endures. An artist named Richard Holman and his brother, a photographer named Floyd, they help us to think about this in a video that they have published on YouTube called An Interview with God. It's been viewed by millions, passed around the world, people who are on a real and a spiritual journey. Consult it. There is beautiful music, like we have here, and scenes of ice-capped mountains and sunflowers, and then the words appear, "I imagine I had an interview with God." "So, you would like to interview me?" "If you have time," I said. "My time is eternity. What questions do you have?" A flute, a piano, and two white lilies open on the screen. "What surprises you most about humankind?" "That they get bored with childhood and grow up and then long to be children again. That they lose their health to make money, and then they lose their money to restore their health." Trees appear, gold, greens, yellows, and reds. "That by thinking anxiously about the future, they forget the present, and so they miss then both the present and the future. That they live as though they will never die, and they die as though they have never lived." The Grand Canyon with water surrounding formations of rock. God's hand took mine and we walked for a while in silence. And then I asked, "As a parent, what are some lessons that you would like for your children to learn?" God replied with a smile, "To learn that it is not good to compare themselves with others. That they cannot make anyone love them, but they can let themselves be loved. That a rich person is not the one who has the most, but the one who needs the least. Cupcake flowers hanging down and dripping in the morning dew. That it only takes a few moments to profoundly wound another person, and it takes years to heal him or her. To learn to forgive by practicing forgiveness. To learn that they may be forgiven, but they must forgive themselves. To learn that there are persons who love them dearly, but who do not know how to show them. That two people can look at the same two things or one thing and see it differently. Finally, Bryce Canyon, Moab, Utah, the sunbeams, shafts of light. "Thank you for your time," the interviewer said humbly. "Is there anything else you would like your children to know?" "That I am there always to save you." So ask for this bread always. Hide your life in God. Rest your bones in God. Hope in God. Pray to God for whatever it is that you need. For God's Spirit to go in front of you, beside you, around you, behind you, in you, and in all those around you. For the feeding of your daily and weekly rhythms that come from your knowledge of God in Christ and the Spirit of God. For every time you are in a wilderness, for every decision you make, for all that you will say, for anything that you do, may God provide for you and yours always. Amen.